Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to Boiler Up Down South. This is Drew in my best radio voice. I'm here with my buddy, Garrett Shearman. Garrett, what's up, bud?
My radio voice is primed. It is ready to go. My transatlantic accent. No, I mean, we have to talk like we're actually from the South down here. That's kind of part of the name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to highlight this, our expectations of this Gonzaga game tomorrow.
Big game.
Happening in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Andrew Ledman, the co-manager of Hammer and Rails, is live and on site because he... I guess he has more disposable income than I do.
Hawaii would be very cool right now. Well, very warm, actually. But
I'm going to the beach next week, so, you know, I can't complain. I'll be in Folly Beach in Charleston for a week, so not... Life is not too difficult. But speaking of disposable income, we should probably try to boost ours with a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and get right into Gonzaga.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Boiler Up Down South from whatever you were doing while we were away. Garrett, let's just get right into this backcourt. Let's get right into the backcourt of Gonzaga. They got a couple of real good players. Who we got?
They do, and they are kind of small. That being said, I kind of like how our defense with our, you know, the backcourt that we have that would be guarding them can handle that. But they really only play like the same two guys at point guard and shooting guard, and then when you get to the three, you know, that gets a little bit more rotational. But yeah.
Yep. So they got Ryan Nemhart. He's a transfer in. He was one of Creighton's best players last year, and now he's the brother of the Pacers point guard, and so who also transferred to Gonzaga. So following in that family tradition, and Nemhart. You know, he's a traditional point guard, 6 foot, 175. He's going to look a lot like Braden Smith. I think Braden actually might be just a tiny bit, like, longer than he is. And so he's a guy that's going to get to the rim. He's going to, and you know, he's their assist guy. He's a marginal three-point shooter. But they're going to want the ball in his hands for the most part. They've Garrett was saying, they really it's hard to really tell what Gonzaga's gonna do. We're mainly going off their first game against Yale, because they haven't only played two games, and their second game was against an NAIA team.
Yeah, so they are not even considered like part of most major rankings. They are not ranked in the KenPom rankings, so
yeah,
there's not much to go off there. They won 123-57.
Yeah, so you can't really take anything. I've actually sort of stripped all the stats from that game. It's really kind of throwing off the statistics. If you look at KenPom and you look at like Sports Reference and stuff, it's really hard to tell, because that second, they've only played two games, and one of them is so weird. But like I said, Nemhart in the backcourt, he's going to be the starting point guard. But really, they feature two starting point guards, because next to Nemhart is sorry, my brain is flashing out. Nolan Hickman.
Yeah, Hickman. Yeah.
Nolan Hickman. Hickman is a former high four-star, low five-star guy. There was some thought that he might be a one and done. And he's played, you know, he's been fine, but he's never really made that first step, that big step up. I think last season everybody was sort of expecting it. You know, as a freshman, he averaged 5 points, assist and a half a game, pretty close to that. And everybody thought, okay, he was one of those guys that, just on his high school reputation, may have been able to, you know, find his way into the second round. He stuck around. He was looking for a big jump. They didn't really make it last year. 7.7 points a game, 3.1 assists. You know, good, not great. And so he's back for his third year. He started off the Yale game 13.5 points, and that's really what Gonzaga is going to need from him this year, is to score more. Nimhart's more of a natural point. He can score, but like that's not like his favorite thing to do. And I feel like Hickman is really going to need to figure that out. But he just hasn't shot the ball well from deep either. So, you know, they're starting guards. Neither of them are particularly good shooters. They're much better in pick and roll, attacking the basket, getting into the lane. That was one of the notes I made from watching the Yale game, was that their guards really want to get in the lane, or at least Nemhart and Hickman really want to get into the lane on every possession. And that's sort of how Gonzaga wants to run it, where they're trying to get those guys opportunities to get their feet in the paint and then make decisions.
Yeah, I don't really see them as being too much of a threat, like, from the outside, like in terms of attempts, I think even they know that, like, that's not gonna be their game going into this. They're not really gonna be having, you know, Nembhard and Hickman trying to shoot from too far outside the painted area. I think they're gonna try to make them more like field generals, if that's a cool old timey you know, basketball term that you guys like. I hate to use the tropes too often, but you know, but once you get beyond that, we're going to the three, and the three is really kind of the most variable.
Yeah, they'll play a bunch of people at the three. They had Steele Venters as a transfer, but he suffered a season-ending injury in camp, so that really sort of left them out to dry in terms of just what they have at that spot. And they don't have a lot of depth, and what they do have is a true freshman, a four-star player out of where is he from? Sorry, live podcasting. Stormer, there he is. Sherman Oaks, California. So Notre Dame, Sherman Oaks. He's from, you know, right around LA, and he is stepping in, 6'6", 195, true freshman. And he's really the shooter on the out of the three on the guards. Pretty much a true wing. He's not going to have the ball in his hand a lot. They're going to make him finish shots more than create shots. He's consider him kind of like maybe what Purdue does with Fletcher Lawyer. Some,
yeah, I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, more of a catch and shoot guy. They'll move him off screens. And also he's the guy that they use to sort of balance the floor when they throw it into the paint to Ike. He's the guy they'll usually put in the corner to see if they can get an open shot off a double team. But again, true freshman, and then they really have to sort of play a bunch of different people. We were talking about Anton Watson, who's sort of their returning. I'm not gonna say star, but I think he's the guy that they think is gonna make a big jump. Last year, he was kind of their third scorer, 11 points a game. He came back for this fifth year. He's a do everything sort of small forward, power forward.
He's got a good perimeter jump shot. I will say that, right?
Yeah, he can shoot from the outside. Not to the extent of, say, like a Vince Edwards for Purdue could.
Yeah.
He's more of a guy. He will take the outside shot, but he's better getting to the basket and just finishing tough at the rim. He's one of those guys that does finish through contact. He rebounds at a high level. He's an energy guy. Steals. He's gonna get a couple steals a game, and he sometimes sets the. At least last year, he'd be the guy that might spark off a run for Gonzaga, where everything's sort of, you know, lulled down. They're trying to feed the ball to Timmy, and then Watson's the guy that maybe gets a steal, gets a transition, and sort of breaks that momentum or that, you know, slow pace. Which is kind of what Purdue was missing last year, honestly, is that guy that could just sort of take it and get his own when things sort of fall apart. So he likes to play in transition as well.
And I think, like, just real quick, I think that's an important thing because, you know, we're early on in the season, but Purdue kind of struggled in transition a lot last year. And, you know, if he can kind of do what he has done, that might be a point of concern. I don't think it's like anything to lose your mind about, but, you know, it's something to be aware of.
Yeah, something to think about. If he ends up playing a lot of the three, which I could potentially see happening, that's going to be a tough matchup for Fletcher Lawyer. If Fletcher's there, it'll be interesting to see what Matt Painter does early in the season. Does he match maybe a team putting just a huge three on the floor with, you know, one of our own threes? Or is he going to, you know, stick with Lawyer out there and make that guy guard Fletcher Lawyer, you know, on the return into the court? It's a tough. I'm glad I'm not having to make that decision. It's a tough one to make. But luckily Purdue does, if they need to go away from Lawyer, if he does start having trouble, they do have guys out there a little bigger, more physical on the wing. At that point, I don't know if I necessarily like Mason Gillis on the wing. I think he's more of a small four, but I think Watson's enough of a small four himself playing the three. I think that would be an okay matchup that Purdue could probably go to if Gonzaga wants to go big and they're having trouble matching up with them.
I agree with that fully with what you said on Gillis, being a more of a small four than a stretch downward three, if that's a term that makes sense. I think it's also just a case of kind of having an embarrassment of riches and Matt Painter needing to figure out, like, okay, well, if these guys are guaranteed this amount of minutes a game, then only X amount of minutes are left. How do you guard certain guys who may be kind of their own, like, in-betweener positions in terms of three and four? I think we might actually see a little bit more Charlie Morton, just for defensive purposes.
Charlie Morton, the Purdue wide receiver. Yeah, my goodness, gosh. That would be awesome.
Ethan Morton.
Oh.
Yeah, no, not Charlie Morton.
Chuck Sizzle.
The baseball pitcher. Now we're all mixed up.
I thought he played field hockey.
Should we delete that?
No, that's fine. I think that's great. We're not going to delete that. That's pure gold, baby.
That is pure hanging out and talking just old sports guys with your friends type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think we see more Ethan Morton a little bit just for defensive purposes because, their backcourt is rather small until you get to the three, and then they have a lot of guys that they can kind of go back and forth between three and four. And then, honestly, that's kind of the case for Purdue as well.
It's kind of the case of two teams that don't really have, or only have one guy that you would kind of consider a traditional wing. It's Stromer for Gonzaga, and I play Morton for Purdue.
Yeah.
And
I just love the concept of a young man named Dusty.
Although I will say Miles Colvin is probably the prototypical wing today in today's basketball. So Purdue has two.
He'll get there. He's young.
He is young. He will get there, even though he's been one of Purdue's better shooters. But anyways, yeah, on the wings, they don't have a lot of options. So they mix and match. They play three guards some, and they'll play their bigs. So we can go ahead and just sort of move on to their front court because that's that's going to be a real interesting matchup, I think, all game long against sort of contrasting styles in some ways. You start at the four, like I said, Anton Watson, and he's a wing, 6'8", 225. He'll play, we talked about him, playing the three. He'll also play the four, so that's going to also be another question of can Kaufman Wren guard him on the perimeter, because I think Anton Watson and gets Kaufman Wren squared up, he's going to take him off the drive, or at least try to every time. And he has that ability. Like I said, he does remind me a little bit of Vince Edwards without maybe quite as good a jump shot. So I think he definitely will try to drive whoever is playing the four. Until maybe, again, you get down to Gillis. I really feel like Gillis could be an important part of the game just because Watson is so important for Gonzaga. He's going to be on the court somewhere most of the time, either the three or the four. Sometimes they play him at the five and go super fast. That's going to be the question. You've got first over there, Gillis. We can got Heidi, who could play the four or the three. Again, it'll be interesting what Matt does. And, it's just so many players on this roster that can play that it could just be not even a set rotation. I think we sort of talked about that.
We mentioned that in episode one. I believe.
where maybe he mixes and matches a little bit, and maybe this game you see a little more Gillis, a little less Kaufman-Rinn to match up with Watson. But again, we always talk about that, you know, oh, well, we have to match up defensively, but they also have to match up with us. And, I mean, Watson, Kaufman-Rinn might be able to just take Watson into the paint and you know, Purdue play that little high-low they like with Edie pulled up to the free throw line, feeding Kaufman-Rinn on the box, and he could, you know, he might eat. And at that point, you know, they've got to match up with Purdue. And they do have one guy that I feel like they can bring off the bench, either at the four or the five. He's a freshman, Braden Huff. So it's going to be Braden's all over the place in a true, what generation are those?
I mean, like, if what? Is this kid's a true freshman? He's like 18 or 19.
Yeah.
So it's 2023. So he was born in 2003 or 2004. And I hate that.
Yeah. It's weird. Wow.
Dude, I have friends that I've made through music who were born after 9/11. And I'm like,
wow.
What?
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah,
because you never forget.
Because you don't. I was in college. That was weird, and I'm sure you were like a toddler.
But I was in the first grade.
Oh, anyways, weird 9/11 segue, but
yeah, like 9/11 segue in a basketball podcast.
And we're back to Purdue basketball. They do have Braden Huff, who's been their best scorer so far this season. Again, they really only have one game. It was against Yale. He played well, though. And he is a hard player to describe. I feel like maybe he's got a bit of a... He's a pick-and-pop big, more of a Euro guy feel than like a traditional, say, 6'10". He's almost more of what I thought Kaufman-Rinn was going to be at Purdue.
Just like an inch taller, though.
Yeah, he's a pick and pop big. That's really where he's been scoring his points.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're definitely gonna talk about these whole like big on big matchups here in a second. But I mean, again, he's a freshman. He looks very capable of playing his position, but he's also kind of like that. Like you said, like European style, where it's a tall, relatively lanky dude who taught himself how to shoot out of necessity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he's got a smooth outside stroke, and he got going against Yale on those pick and pops, and that was a close game, and he really hit some backbreakers late in the. In the shot clock, where he, you know, just sets that screen for either Nimhart or Hickman, and then pops after they drive the hole, and you know, he hit two or three from three in that game. But he also hit a lot of these mid-range jumpers. He has a little floater he shoots at 6'10". That's kind of cool.
I like floaters for anybody, but like when a tall guy hits a floater, it's kind of rare, and
yeah.
I think it's kind of cool. I gotta be honest.
So he's an interesting matchup, and again, Purdue has a really good matchup for him. I feel like in Caleb First off the bench, I feel like they're very
similar styles of play. Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like that's one of the only areas in both teams' roster where they kind of have players that almost mirror each other. And sorry, one of our co-producers, Brooke the Cat, is having a ball with something over here.
Yeah.
So if you hear jingling of a cat collar, that is because it is a collar that is on a cat.
Yes.
And her name is Brooke.
Hi, Brooke.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you want to get into that? Like,
yeah, let's just go ahead. I mean, I was going to mention they have one more sort of big. They have two other bigs. They have Ike, who's really an interesting matchup. He's a Wyoming transfer. He's a center, but it's going to be... we'll talk about when we get to the matchups. It's going to be a weird matchup for Zach. He's like a, you know, low-post power player, but he's like 6'9". He's quicker than he is... He's really strong. He's also pretty quick. He was a dominant force at Wyoming throughout his career. So he's the grad transfer, basically. And so he will pose an interesting matchup for Zach. And also they bring Greg off the bench, and he he's a sophomore or a junior. I think last year he was one of their primary subs last year, and so with
Greg and Huff, or are we talking?
He was one of their primary subs last year. They kind of thought he would be a starter maybe coming into this year. Because they weren't sure if the oh my gosh, his name is escaping me, Garrett. There's their power forward. We've been talking about him. Watson. There it is. Watson was
Anton
ahead of
Watson.
Anton Watson. There. God, I don't know why that was hiding in my brain. There is some thought that he may go to the NBA, and then that maybe Greg would step in and grab some of those minutes. But it looks like he's just going to be their primary center backup. And he's another pick-and-pop guy, though, which, is a little bit concerning that they've got a couple guys that are really going to challenge Edie in the pick-and-roll and the pick-and-pop. I think we can go ahead and let's get into some of those matchups that we were kind of concerned about or just interested in seeing. I won't even say concerned about because, again, I think Purdue's definitely going to give as well as they get in these matchups.
Yeah.
Let's EK first. He's
EK's big and physical, and I mean, like, this is a guy who can play. I mean, like, shoot, if he were at like a max school, he could be a starting center. Again, yeah. He's like 6'9", 245 or something.
Yeah.
And he's mostly splitting his time between power forward because he's big and strong, and then he's a three because he can shoot. Like,
yeah, he's got a pretty nice little mid-range jumper game. So he's played some 3 for him. He's played some 5. He started at the 5 for them in the first game, but then moved all around. Again, it's really hard to get a read for Gonzaga what they're going to do just because of that, only having that one game under their belt, and it being Yale, and Yale being kind of a unique team that they mixed and matched a lot of different lineups. But
there are not too many teams who have only played 2 games so far, and Gonzaga is one of them.
That's right. But Greg is a guy that's gonna hang out pick and pop at the top of the key, and look for Hickman and Nembhard to make that, you know, turn the corner and then make that pass back for him hanging out at the top of the key for some easy threes. 6'10", 230. So they've got some size. They can put some size at the 5 and the 4 that, you know, can rival Purdue. Now, EK will be an interesting matchup to see if he does end up with on ED some. I don't know if they're going to play. I mean, they're going to have to double team ED because I just think he's going to kill Huff on the inside. I think he's going to destroy a true freshman. And I just don't think that EK is tall enough to handle him. And I don't think Greg's that sort of physical player either. So I think you are going to see a lot of big, them doubling with their power forward and trying to make ED throw out as a throw out of the post, because I don't think they want to guard him down there.
Yeah, but that brings up also, like, you know, one of those two guys between Braden Huff and Ben Gregg, one of them's going to get into foul trouble relatively quickly, right? So I think it would be very odd if they both stayed out of foul trouble, given that, and it's so funny because, like, you say, oh, these guys are 6'10", like, oh, but they're too short.
That's crazy.
These men are 6'10" tall. But no, I mean, one of either Huff or Greg is going to get into foul trouble, and I think that's going to play a pivotal role toward the latter stages of the game. Last 3 and a half minutes of the second half. And KenPom has this as a 2-point Purdue win, like a one possession win. So you know we're not discounting the talent of Gonzaga here. We're just saying their
depth. They are so they're not very deep, and that's one thing that Purdue definitely has an advantage of. You know, Purdue's almost too deep, and Gonzaga is going seven. And like you said, I think Matt Painter will probably make a concerted effort to throw the ball in deep to start the game, especially if Huff is on Edie. I think anytime you see Huff on Edie, they're going to throw the ball in to Edie because Huff can't pick and pop and hit from three if he's on the bench.
And, yeah, I was about to say, and it's a... he's a freshman. He doesn't have much experience dealing with that sort of stuff. So
yeah, I think anytime you see Huff and Edie matched up, the ball's probably going straight to Zach to see if he can get Huff in some foul trouble. Because, again, they go seven deep, you take one of their bigs out, now they're going six deep.
Yeah, six people.
And that's, I mean, that's tough to do, especially if Purdue's going to play a higher tempo and Gonzaga... Gonzaga, you know, plays mid-tempo, too. They like to run some as well. So I think it would behoove Purdue to play as fast as they can because Gonzaga does not have the horses on the bench to run all game.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga's going to shoot relatively well overall over the course of the game. But, again, when you get down to, hey, maybe one of their bigs is in foul trouble... one of their not necessarily nobody's really like a dedicated wing is like kind of gassed. You're down to six guys, and in the last 3 minutes of a game, I think that's kind of the.
And one of them, Stromer's a true freshman playing his third college game. So I mean, that's a lot to ask. I mean, we've seen, you know, Purdue's had some guys that come in as true freshmen, but that's a lot. I mean. I'm even thinking back to, like, Jaden Ivey, who it took him a while to get started. And so I think there's a spot, that three spot is going to be a crucial sort of tale of the game of whose wing can win that position. Because I think the backcourt is probably going to be a push.
I think that's a draw. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really almost identical backcourts as you with Nimhart and Hickman and Purdue's backcourt. Purdue basically plays two point guards with Jones and my God,
Braden. Why are you blanking on Braden Smith?
Braden Smith. Braden. Braden Smith and Jones are both point guards, and Nimhart and Hickman are both sort of smallish point guards. So it is going to be like a doppelganger, Spider-Man pointing at each other backcourt there. And can Smith stay in front of Nimhart and pick and roll on? And can Nimhart stay with Smith? I think Smith is a little more physical than Nimhart. I think Smith might be able to drive him and. Put a body on him. Nimhart's not the biggest guy. 6 foot, maybe 170, 175. And I feel like Smith's built more like a... I feel like he's built like a high school safety.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like an Indiana high school safety. Kind of that wiry, strong...
He is good at like kind of jockeying guys shoulder to shoulder as they go into the paint. I have noticed...
I kind of like him being able to maybe bully Nimhart a little bit. I mean, again, Nimhart's an elite passer. He had 7 assists against Yale. He's going to go right back at Smith. And then Hickman and Jones, are, again, two point guards, guys that can play point guard.
Better playing shooting guard.
Are playing more off the ball. You know, Hickman went 1-for-8 from three-point range in their opener. Again, that's maybe one of the reasons why Yale was able to hang for as long as they did. So I think maybe Jones asked a few questions about his jump shot early to see if it's going, because that's always sort of been the question in Hickman's game is can he hit that jump shot consistently. Because again, he's not a big guy either. 6'2", 185.
That's big to most people, but also keep in mind Drew and I are very tall. Yeah. So.
And so, you know, he's probably prototypical size point guard. And so I think Purdue's pretty set there. So I think the three is going to be a big swing. Like I said, I like Lawyer over Stromer. I think, you know, Stromer's basically Lawyer without a whole freshman season of experience, like very similar players.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
I think Stromer maybe a little more athletic. But, you know, I feel like we don't get enough credit for Fletcher's ability to move his feet on the perimeter on defense. I think he holds up better than I think some people think, just because he does not maybe look like the guy you would pick first if you were playing pickup ball. But he moves pretty well. And you know, he's pretty good at reading passing lanes, getting out there, getting his hands, picking off passes. So I think the Lawyer-Stromer matchup, or then whoever else they put at the three, be it Watson, be it EK, or they do have Sukyo, who is a, I believe he's Korean. He was
in the NBA, overseas program for a while and transferred from a university overseas.
Yeah, and he got a little run in their first game against Yale. Another bigger wing, 6'8", 215. I would not anticipate seeing him unless
things... Something goes awry for Gonzaga.
If something goes awry for Gonzaga, if they get into deep foul trouble or, you know, they're getting beat, I don't see Gonzaga blowing Purdue out of this one. I think Purdue could blow Gonzaga out.
I think that's a fair assessment because, like, if one team is going to blow the other out, I think it's Purdue over Gonzaga.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's
going to
happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I think it's going to be very close, and I think Mr. Ken Pomeroy is very, very on target with his one possession prediction. That being said, you know, if one team were to take control quite well, it would be Purdue.
Yeah, I think so too. And let's go ahead and let's get down to how we think this game's going to play out. I think we've talked about most of the matchups. I think Purdue's going to come out and play with good tempo, good pace, move the ball, especially off rebounds, and see what we can do about tiring Gonzaga out, getting into some foul trouble. The fouls are fine in this game. If Purdue can get into a bit of a frantic, hectic game and a bunch of fouls are being called, as long as they're not being called on Edie, and, you know, he's done so well throughout his career of not fouling, I feel like that's going to be Purdue's advantage. Gonzaga might have a lead at certain points in this game. I think this is like a last 5 minutes. Gonzaga sort of running out of players, Edie hitting a lot of free throws. And Purdue either closing the gap and walking away with it in the last five, or, you know, doing enough to win. I'm not going to say comfortably, but I don't think Gonzaga is going to have a chance to win the game at the end. But I think it could be very close.
Well, there's certainly a difference between winning comfortably in terms of controlling the entire game, like, and still winning by eight, and a difference between winning comfortably where you have to tire them out, and then in the last 3-4 minutes of the game, you hit your free throws, they have very few players left with any gas in the tank. So I agree with you in terms of the fact, like, you know, winning comfortably can happen in different contexts, and I think this one, for me, I'm going to go ahead and predict the score of 85-80 with Purdue on top. I think it is going to be very close throughout, but Gonzaga just doesn't have the amount of guys that Purdue has. I really hope Matt Painter can figure out a way to reconcile who he should put around that stretch 3-4 that we've been talking about. But, you know, I see this one being kind of like what you said, where just tire them out. They're not going to have too many guys. They might be 7 deep at some point if somebody gets into foul trouble, hopefully 6 deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, beyond that, I think Purdue just tires them out right at the end.
Yeah, and it's just, this is like another game, just attack, attack, attack. Purdue's done a good job of that so far this year. Put pressure on Nembhard, put pressure on their other guard, Hickman, and those are two other guys. Wear them down, tire them out, make it so that the last 5-10 minutes of the game, their legs aren't there, those three-pointers start coming up short, start getting those long rebounds, and Purdue's continuing to run out. I like the Boilers a little bit more. I like them better. KenPom likes them 78-76 with a 58% confidence. I like Purdue a little bit more in this game. I think the bench is really going to pay huge dividends in the second half. I think Purdue walks away with this one in the last 5 minutes, something like maybe 87-78-79. I think Purdue wins fairly comfortably going away at the end.
Yeah, so we're not too far off.
And so hey, that'll be it. We're gonna be interested to see how this plays out tomorrow. Like I said, or I guess this is probably coming out so later on today. Ledman is live in Maui.
Honolulu.
Yeah, so he'll be there, and we'll be excited to watch Purdue's first real big game of the year. One of the premier matchups of the season so far for really in the nation.
Yeah, in the nation, for sure, but also, it's interesting that it's Gonzaga's, first actual opponent as well.
Yeah, no, again, I think that's also going to play a role. I think Purdue having 3 games and then really only having 1 could be beneficial for the Boilermakers. Well, we will go ahead and let y'all go, and we will be back. I guess we'll have to Purdue on tomorrow if... When Purdue wins, so we can figure out who we're playing.
We're going to have to Purdue it.
We're going to have to Purdue it for an emergency Purdue Basketball Maui Invitational podcast. So we will, hopefully we'll be talking about who Purdue plays next tomorrow. So y'all come back now here.